Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, which featured a returning guest, always very funny, Luke Kempner.
Good form, Luke was.
Yeah, he's an impressionist. He's an Arsenal fan. He's on tour at the moment. And he said a few fans, TalkSport listeners, had kind of popped up to him and asked him for quite an unlikely impression, as you'll discover. We also had a chat with Darren Stevens. Darren is 43 years young, still playing county cricket for Kent. It looked like it was all up, but he had a quite incredible series of performances last year.
It's a great story.
And things changed. It is a nice story. He's a good guy. So you'll hear from him.
Arbits,
we'll have a bit of a chat. We had some TV formats stuff for somebody as well. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. Oh, that's better anyway.
Yeah, it was better, yeah. It was a good performance. I mean, much as we were saying yesterday, two of the things when we chatted to Paul Jiggins just before the end of the show, said Son's got to start. That's very important because he makes such a difference. And we get an early goal, settle down, we'll probably be all right. And that's the way it panned out. Red Star were quite terrible, shockingly
poor,
bad.
They,
gave us lots of room to plan it. What did feel a bit like Son's testimonial.
It's true.
But it was great. It was still a very good result and a good performance and an enjoyable night. The Red Star fans got in. We heard, it was really interesting, right up in the corner on the high level that we're up, but right up in the corner there, suddenly we heard some Red Star fans singing. We saw probably about 60, 70, 80 of them congregated. And then there was two blokes on our row, about sort of six seats along from us, who suddenly stood up on hearing it and sort of came out, walked round the back of the stand and headed up there. So clearly it had been decided that would be the rallying point where they'd all come together.
But there
together.
Are some Spurs fans who are in trouble for selling their tickets to Red Star fans.
Yeah, that's an issue. The Supporters Trust have just put out a kind of statement explaining what went on. Those fans, some of those Red Star fans, went down onto the concourse to get a drink at half time. And as soon as they did, they had their tickets confiscated and they were thrown out by the police. The police, I think, and the club decided to kind of kettle them, really, keep them in one area that stopped there being a lot of problems. And if any pockets did go and join them, they were quite happy to let them do that because they could contain it. There couldn't be any kind of stuff happening around the ground. But at the end of the game, apparently the people were arrested as they left the stadium.
It was an official party of 235.
Yeah, that's right. They were in the prawn sandwich section. When these blokes started standing up and chanting, we thought, blimey, they're probably saying they want more vol-au-vents. They're demanding more vol-au-vents. But yeah, they were basically, what happened is at the end of the game, those that remained in the stand were held back at the end of the game, taken out via a separate staircase and handed over to the police because they shouldn't have been in there.
There you go. I thought Aguero was going to complete the Paddy Power double.
Yeah, that was our window of opportunity yesterday with Paddy
goal,
Power, wasn't it?
First goal scorers Harry Kane and Sergio Aguero. Kane obliged, didn't he? And honestly, Aguero had three great chances.
Yeah.
One went behind him from Sterling's cross. One was a great shot, actually very unlucky. Keeper got those. Just a finger to it. And the second one, third one, he should have scored. He blasted it over.
Maybe he laid it. Of course not. Of course not. I'm joking.
And then they scored from that ridiculous penalty. And of course, then he scores Aguero himself.
Was a pen, though, wasn't it? It was clearly a pen. It was not
it was
the greatest
poor
attack
from Mendy. Lost the ball in a very bad place.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Kyle Walker First, I didn't recognise. So who's that bald bloke?
Oh, yeah, he shaved his head.
Oh, yeah, he's got a bit Friar Tuck. I think Goffey needs to have a word with him. He's not good.
I think he's shaved it. I don't think it's fallen out. I think he has shaved it, hasn't he?
Well, he's definitely got the old Friar Tuck at the back.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
And a friend of mine's on holiday in a Croatian island called Brač.
Oh, yeah.
And he sent me this photo from on his way back to where he was staying, Sir Matt Busby Way. Look at that. In Brač. In Croatia. Amazing. I said to him, that's the sort of thing
you'd buy in the Manchester United club shop. Is that what they've called the street?
It's nailed to the wall.
So they've actually... Can I have a look at it? Has it got the Manchester postcode on it? Yeah, this has been bought from the club shop and someone's nailed it to the wall. That's very odd, isn't it?
I know. So
very strange.
I did ask him.
Marco Marin is still really an inferior version of...
De Bruyne?
No. It's gone. He even looks like him, for goodness sake. He played like him. Modric. Luka Modric. Oh, yeah, He's like a Luka Modric tribute act that you go and see, you know. I like Luka Modric. Oh, we can't afford to go and see him. Let's go and see Marco Marin instead, really. It's not. Didn't quite happen for him, did it?
And all the business... I turned over, when it was 3-0, I turned over. I thought, that's the end of that. And I went to the City game, which was still 0-0 at the time. And then I saw that, obviously, they saw the bit that I just talked about.
Yeah.
But the thing that they were talking about on Jim's show this morning with Trevor about John Stones. I mean, Pep was right. You're taking so long to get ready. I mean, what are you doing? That fiddling with his shin pads, fiddling with his boots. You know, you think, good Lord, mate, you've got to get to the sideline, start warming up a bit. It was as if nothing was a problem. I mean, they were having to defend a corner. I could see why he went mad.
Yeah.
But it was typical Pep. He immediately calmed down as soon as, you know, he had his say, he blew up. And then when he came to the touchline before he went on, he gave him his instructions, you know, encouraging, and that was it.
It's that classic thing at the end of the game. I only saw the highlights this morning. I just watched the highlights of the game, the City game back. But he seemed to be talking to the fourth official at the end of the game for about 2 or 3 minutes, just kind of holding him. And the fourth official, he's going, yeah. I mean, what a job that is. It's like a kind of... you've got no control over it. All you do is get rollicked all the time. And people stand in front of you and say, this should have happened, that. You go, yeah, of course it should have happened. You say, in the end, someone's going to say, why are you telling me, mate? It's nothing to do with me.
I think they do it because they think they hope that there'll be some sort of influence. But at the end of the game, what influence would there be?
Yeah.
Foden, a bit, you know, it's a bit naive, really. He was on a booking, but...
The first booking was ridiculous. Can you book a player for tackling? I mean, it wasn't... Apparently, they said in the little bit of commentary, I thought that was the first tackle he put in. It was a nothing challenge. You don't book someone for that.
He does look the real deal, though. I'd be amazed if he's not playing in the Qatar World Cup, you know, for England.
Yeah.
He's definitely decent. I mean, there were some great performances in the Champions League last night. Mbappe was sensational when he came.
Dybala got a couple of goals, for Juve.
Yeah, he saved Sarri's bacon.
Sterling
was wonderful.
They were going to ship him out. I saw Tancredi saying today that he's one of their standout players at the moment. I can't see... They kept saying, maybe January, Spurs United might go back in, but they're going so well, Juve. Why would they sell him now? He's getting games, isn't he?
It's sort of going well. They were lucky last night. You know, they really struggled for a long part of that game. So, you know.
Bayern only won 3-2. They made fairly hard work of that as well, didn't they? Yeah. They were behind for a while. So
it's not easy to go over there. It's not easy to win away in the Champions League, as we're going to find out tonight.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Beautiful.
What do you want to say?
Well, I turned to the engagement announcements in the Times. I always enjoy those.
Yeah.
And today, I'm fascinated by this bloke. The announcement is engagement is announced between Mr. OBE George and Miss CE Cartmel. I'd love to see OBE.
Miss OBE George and CBE Cartmel.
No, not CBE.
Okay.
CE. It'd be good if she was CBE.
Yeah, it'd be perfect, wouldn't
it? How good would it be if he'd... I'd love to see him get something in the honours list. OBE George.
Yeah.
OBE.
OBE George OBE. Yeah, that would be a bit of a mouthful, wouldn't it?
And Miss JM Offinger. And I don't know if her parents, if I were her parents, I'd be tempted to call her Frida, but I won't go any further into that.
Not a bad idea.
No.
Later on, we're going to be talking about the World Hickory Open Golf, where they play with the old hickory shaft clubs.
Okay.
And the man we're going to be chatting to is the organiser, Malcolm Duck.
Good.
Malcolm Duck, D-U-C-K.
Yeah.
So we thought it'd be great if the World of Hickory Golf Organising doesn't really work out for Malcolm, whether we could come up with some TV formats for him this afternoon. So maybe we could introduce him to a world of of television.
I've gone pressed duck. Malcolm opens a dry cleaners.
Is it pressed duck? What's pressed duck?
Have you ever seen that thing? That's a very famous dish that they serve in France. They get that big silver thing.
And they press the duck.
They press the duck and they squeeze all the juices out of it.
I had duck à l'orange, which is the history of ducks.
We've both gone that route.
The history of ducks in Holland. Very specific to Dutch ducks. The quiz show, I suppose. No, I can't do that one, can I? Out the question.
Duck soup.
Be careful. Be careful. Donald Duck, of course, which that would just be something to do with Donald Trump. I've got nothing, really. Nothing. We'll leave it to you. You're much better at this than we are. So let's have some TV formats for old Malcolm. Talkspot.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. We'll bring you the best of them this afternoon. Anything else?
Yes, Bill. I want Bill to get Pelé ready, if he could.
Yeah, because it's Pelé's birthday,
isn't
it?
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. It's a very special day for Pelé. It is his birthday. And
have I got to try and guess how old he is?
Well, let's wait and see. Oh, here he comes. Yeah.
Good old Pelé.
It's my birthday. He's bringing out a new range of sweets, actually.
Is he really?
Edson Arantes dos Nascimentos.
You put them in. You put them in bottles of Coke, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
In car parks. Sounds good. Yeah.
I think you probably actually. It's quite interesting to know how old he is. I think you might be a bit out here. I'm going to give you a range of 5 years for this one. Not easy, I don't think.
Okay, Pelé.
How old do you think Pelé is today?
79.
You knew.
I did. I looked up his birthday. I thought it was his birthday today.
79.
There's not much jeopardy in that,
is
there?
No, there isn't really. Anyway. Yeah. Well done to him. 79. Tremendous.
We're going to talk to Tim about that. Pelé at 79.
Yes.
Because he's an interesting character, isn't he? He's still a kind of huge figure in Brazil. And he was quite ill this year, wasn't he? Mm. And there was a lot of concerns about his health and stuff. But Tim kind of finds him an interesting character. Not all of it's positive, is it?
No, not all of it's positive. He's had a blessed life, but also a difficult life with his kids and all that.
Yeah.
But a wonderful player.
Oh, he was.
Incredible. Yeah. If you've never seen Brazil 70, I mean, videos and things exist, recordings, and they were... Still, for me, the best team I've ever seen, without a doubt.
There was a little piece I saw in the paper today, and I thought we would call this one, well, that's that then. Mm. And the story is, Sir Ian McKellen, 80, wants to star in a musical, but he can't sing. Well, that's that then.
That's that then.
I think you've answered your own question, Macca, as I believe you're called in theatre circles. And this was a corker from the Daily Sun. A Russian ice hockey team has been fined after their coach said he would set fire to the ref's car.
Really?
Yeah. He said later on it was only a joke. And he said, and it's also not like I said I was going to set fire to his apartment or something. That's all right then. Send light to his car while he's in it. That's all fine, but not his apartment.
So not right, really.
You can't be doing that. It's going to get you a touchline ban, isn't it?
Really? You can't condone that at all.
So many of these are plays on words that I can't possibly do at this time of day. Duck and cover, where Malcolm visits cricket's greatest cover. Drivers of all time. That's quite limited, Johnny Newcastle, I'd say. Toilet Duck, a series where Malcolm tours the nation's great lavatories. That's good, and the old Philharmonic in Liverpool and other fine sites around the world.
What about Duckworth Lewis, where he looks at John Lewis to see value of items there?
Yeah, I wouldn't watch that. But try not to come up with ones that involve a subtle changing of the letter. I think we know what the letter is when you're looking for formats. For Malcolm Duck.
I tell you what I'm fascinated by, the concept of the celebrity perfume. I've never really got it. I've never, like, for example, David Beckham's perfume or aftershave.
If somebody came to you, though, and said, I want to produce a fragrance called AJ.
AJ
Pour Homme. And you'd be in the advert, wouldn't you? You'd sort of wandering around.
I'd be in the advert.
Wandering around.
I wouldn't sell any of it.
Wandering around in a dinner jacket or something. But
Of Hague Club whiskey.
Yeah. What were you going to say then about the celebrity perfume?
Well, there's a new one out now. Grimmer Collins. She's bringing out her own. It's a good name, isn't it? I like that.
The great smell of the GC.
Exactly.
And, wow.
Yeah, she's incredible. It's called Diva Pink, and it's being launched on Monday night. I mean,
it's being launched on Monday night, and it'll be in bargain bins in Superdrug by Tuesday afternoon.
Apparently, she had a lot of stress over Arge. She says,
"No, she has. He's not been well.
I ain't stopped eating," was the quote.
"I ain't stopped eating."
That's it. She says, "I've had a lot of stress and I've not been to the gym in 2 weeks." So there you go. So she's putting a bit of weight. But
okay, fair enough. So should we look out for it? What's it called?
Diva Pink.
Diva Pink. What's it? Do you know what it smells like? You got any of these?
No idea. Okay. We'll get some in and we'll give it a
sample. Why don't you start wearing it and see what happens?
I might be suddenly massively successful like Gemma.
Yeah, you could be. That's right.
Seems highly unlikely.
You could be the AJ we'll start calling you.
Now,
if anyone wants to bring out a fragrance, Randy, please do let us know. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSH and J. We better press on, Andy. I think we should. Because Darren Stevens awaits after a pretty amazing season.
Yes.
Where he Kent decided to keep him on for another year, certainly after one incredible performance against Yorkshire. We'll be chatting to Darren about his career very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Just a quick reminder that our betting partner Paddy Power's a special window of opportunity, a Champions League bet for listeners today until 3 p.m. And that is Liverpool and Chelsea both to win tonight in the Champions League. Was 5-2, now 3-1. These bets are available now up until 3 o'clock. Max bet £20, 18 plus only. Be gambleaware.org. Now, it looked like Darren Stevens' time was up at Kent, but. One standout performance against Yorkshire, in which he got 7 for 70 and scored. Let him remind us, how many runs was it, Darren?
237. I don't think it's sunk in yet.
A career best knock, and Kent rethought, and he's there next season. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for the invite.
Where did that performance came from?
It wasn't just that performance. It was really the minute they said to you, "That's it," you suddenly started playing brilliantly, really.
I don't know. I look back as a few years back. I was coming to the end of my career, and it was like, I'm going to finish now and end up getting 200 in the last game. That changed my mind again. I don't know. I just think in the last year of your contract, I'm going to finish at the end of the year, so let's just give it everything you got. And I think that was a similar thing.
You'll be 44 now when you're playing next season, won't you?
Do you know, I've been to a lot of dinners and stuff at the end of the season, awards and charity dues, and all that. I get brought up, Darren Stevens in the room, the oldest cricketer in county cricket.
But how many benefits have you had?
Yeah. not enough.
You're looking good, Nick, though, don't you? Obviously looked after yourself.
Well, that's the big thing, yeah. I started training about 2 weeks ago. I think each year I've looked back, I've had to start earlier on my training. The lads all get together in November. You know, I'll start ticking over my fitness and... You know, the big thing for me as you get older is keeping my weight off. So, hence, I have to start a little bit earlier in my training.
Yeah. I mean, spinners can go on a little bit longer, but, you know, that's not what you do. So, it obviously takes...
It's about that pace.
It's a bit quicker than that. It's a bit quicker than that.
It takes a bit of a toll
on your body, that, doesn't it? Putting yourself through that.
Yeah, it does. I don't run in the hardest, but no. One thing I don't do is miss hitting the stumps. You know, that's... basically what I do. I ask a lot of questions, and I think if you ask around the circuit, people would rather face 90 mile an hour than 70 mile an hour. So I think that's the big thing in my favour.
You've played a bit of franchise cricket, haven't you? You've been player of the year for Kent three times, but you've also found time to go and play in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I did Bangladesh for 3 years in the T20. That was we won 3 trophies there. That was great. And then my favourite spot was New Zealand. I played for Otago out there in 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. I loved it out there.
Very nice place
to
be.
Good cricket, but a beautiful part of the world.
You put yourself in the mix for the 100, Darren, didn't you?
Yeah,
recently?
I did, yeah. Why not?
You thought
why
it was nearly 100.
Yeah. That's right. It wasn't an age thing.
That's what we were all at. Yeah,
I can talk.
But yeah. So, you said there was a couple of wild cards at the end, wasn't there? A couple of people that maybe weren't expected.
I think they've got... there's one more spot for each side.
Okay.
So you never know. You know, try and get in the 2020 side for Kent next year and... There's a wild card spot for each of the franchises.
Do you see it tactically being fundamentally different to 2020? Would it be similar?
Not really. There's a few overs less, and I think it's more the time, isn't it? They want to try and cut the 3 hours down to 2.5 hours or 2 hours. So it's that's the big thing. But getting, you know, the ECB putting this out, it's more of let's get different people to come and watch the game. So
this 10 ball thing, I don't think they're calling them overs. I don't know, God knows what they call
it. The T20. Oh, okay,
one where you have to bowl 10 balls in a row.
Yeah.
That could be quite tricky, couldn't it? A, choosing the right person to do it, and B, if they go for six off the first ball.
Yeah, it is. I think that's a choice, though, isn't it? I've not actually looked into the rules of it, because obviously I wasn't sure I was going to get picked up. But I think you get to choose as a bowling unit. If you say you bowled an over well, I think you get a choice of actually, right, you can keep going and get through that 10 ball. So it's... Yeah.
It still means, we still need to understand cricket, I think, to enjoy it. I think cricket fans will enjoy it. I'm not sure about how much it will appeal to other people. But
yeah,
we'll
I'm not sure too. It's a bit of a question mark in there.
Paul made a great point about the auction the other night.
Yeah.
Which is, you know...
It's a sport they've come up with for people who've got a short attention span, and the draft lasted 3 hours. No one thought that through. Yeah. Surely it should have been 20 minutes.
Exactly.
How many
right.
people exactly. that would be turned on to cricket thinking, blimey, this is going on a bit? Isn't it as longer than a couple
but
of games?
The amount of texts I had actually saying, that it was enjoyable. It sort of dragged you in because, you know, it was stop and start, but it was the process of it. They enjoyed watching.
Mm.
I've got this thing, Paul was driving me mad, that I always think people who are named a certain way could be related to other people. But we were thinking that we wondered if your parents were fans of the 60s film, the TV series Bewitched. The main character that was Darren Stevens.
Darren Stevens, yeah.
Yeah.
I might have started watching that when I was younger, but that
no relation.
No.
You'd gone out on loan to Derbyshire, hadn't you? And so it looked like you might have been heading there.
Well, I think it was last year I had an injury early season in 2020, and then I was fit to play, and they got off to a great start, so they ended up saying, look, we're going to stick with the youngsters. And I was like, well, I want to go on loan. And, you know, I got my name out on loan. And then Dave Howard from Derby rang me and said, look, you'd be perfect for us in the middle of the innings with a bat and obviously with a ball. We've got a lot of youngsters. You'll bring a lot of experience to the side. It'd be great for us. And in the end, it was more the experience that I brought off the pitch because I only played 5 games. Mm. It was a bit frustrating. But, look, they got to the quarterfinals under Corky and Billy Godderman, who's the captain.
Yeah.
You know, and they did brilliantly, and it was a great experience for me because I've done my level 3 in coaching. I'm looking to go down that route, and I actually did a lot more coaching and mentoring than I did playing. I want to play because I'm a professional cricketer, but looking further down the line, it actually helped me with, you know, the coaching side of things.
You've not set a date when you might call it a day. If you're all the time you're feeling good, if you play well next season, you'll keep going.
The last 6 years, I've been retiring in June.
Okay.
Well, that's great.
Like the body things, you know, I've looked after myself quite well. Mm. You know, I've been very lucky with injuries, knees and joints and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I'm lucky on that side of things, but I'll keep going until... You know, my body says no.
How's county cricket and the county cricketers changed as they come in? The young guys come into the sport now. You say 20 years you've been 24 playing?
24 years.
24 yeah. years. I mean, has it changed drastically? Yeah. You see differences?
Techniques have changed a lot because of in my eyes, you know, everybody's got their own opinions on it. But I think the two divisions changed it a lot. How I look at it is first division is an offside game and the second division is a leg side game because first division, they bowl for the day, whereas like, and try and get through if the pitches are a lot flatter. But second division, it's about taking wickets because they're a lot greener, so you can bowl at the stumps more. That's my look on it. But I think it's changed a lot. Yeah, techniques have changed because of the divide in the two divisions.
Yeah, and the young boys that come in, people that want to play T20? Do you see players that are future test players as they come in these days, or they want to hit the ball out of the park?
There is that. There's a little bit of a mix. There's a few old school youngsters coming through, want to play test cricket, but then there's also a lot of people getting dragged towards the money, the pound signs.
Of course. It's a lucrative business now, isn't it? If you can hit the ball a long way.
How can you not look at it? I look at this young Banton from Somerset. He got his first 100 against us actually in the one-day format this year. Exceptional player, but he's gone from, all of a sudden he's getting a 100 grand contract from, I don't know what he was on. He might have been on 30 grand, and all of a sudden he's got this big step. So people can't turn it down.
No, that's very true.
You can't turn it down.
Yeah, I mean, and playing for England now is pretty lucrative, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah,
which is good. Derek, and coaching England. So
yeah, of course.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. So coaching. Keep playing, and maybe a bit of media and stuff. The opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a bit of space over June, July time next year when the T20 and the 100's on, or the one-day comp's on and the 100. So, hopefully there'll be a bit.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Making a welcome return to the studio is his comedian, impressionist and Arsenal fan. Well, you can't have it all, eh? Luke Kempner. Good to see you, Luke.
Oh, it's good to be back, guys. Nice to see you in your lovely new studio.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've been here.
You like the view, don't you?
It's a lovely view.
You do like the view.
If you're listening in your cars, you just imagine that view.
It's a good view.
Nice.
It's perfect.
You're mid-tour, and it's been going rather well, hasn't it?
Yeah. So 4 weeks in, got another 4 weeks to go. Yeah. And genuinely, it's blown my mind. It's been amazing. I was so nervous before I did it, but the audiences have been great, and, you turn up in Shrewsbury and you've almost sold a venue out and you go, I'm big in Shrewsbury.
Fantastic.
So it's been
welcome
great.
Welcome back. You said a few of the TalkSport listeners come up and say hello.
Yeah, it always surprises me because I think TalkSport listeners, I'm expecting them to come up and say, I love it when you do your Wenger at me. You have to go, yes, look, thank you very much. It's obviously a fantastic top show with a fantastic view, I must say. But actually, I've had two TalkSport listeners come up to me after shows and go, I loved it when you did Christopher Biggins.
That's TalkSport heartland, Biggins.
Of course, the demographic for TalkSport is Christopher Biggins, of course, especially Christmas coming so close.
Has he heard your Biggins?
He has. I did it to Biggins.
Yeah.
So it was me, Rory Bremner, and Christopher Biggins, and Deborah Stevenson. We did it on a show called The Imitation Game on ITV, and she had to guess who the real Biggins was, and she guessed me. You can find this clip online, and we, but she picked me. It was like it was unbelievable.
Wow,
and
impressed.
He loved it.
He took it well.
He said, "Well, he can sing and he can do Biggins. What more does he want?"
It's true. Listeners just contacted me. He's seeing you. 2 weeks' time at the Lowry in Salford. So you are still all over the place. But you've got one that you want
to... Well, not literally. I mean,
it's
not all over the place.
Mentally, I am, gosh.
But before that, you've got a big night in London.
Yeah, big night in London. So tomorrow night... sorry, not tomorrow night. Friday night at the Leicester Square Theatre. It's so almost sold out. And it would be amazing if I could sell it out. It's the biggest venue I'm doing on the tour. It'd just be a dream come true to sell it out. So I'd love to see some.
Well, to get those extra few tickets over the line, give us a couple of people you'll definitely be doing there. So you do Jon Snow, I didn't know.
Yeah, Jon Snow will be in there, of course. I've got people from Game of Thrones, they're going to be going on this morning, talking about why they've lost their dragon.
not the newsreader, I was expecting him.
Not the former Sussex bowler, wasn't he?
But, there's going to be everyone, people like Michael McIntyre, he will be there, of course. People like Adam Carr, he's often a favourite of mine. I might do Boris, he's so popular, of course, is he not? I don't know. You know, and look, Trump will be there, you know, because you got to do the people that everyone's talking about. Okay. You know, and
Andy Murray.
And of course, you know, I just can't stop myself from doing Andy Murray, you know, and actually he's making a bit of a comeback. So, you know, look how happy it's made me.
They're incredibly accurate.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and you know what I often do when I come see you guys? You go, so, you know, who are you doing? And I forget every impression I've ever done in my life. So I'm like sitting there frantically looking at my notes.
Kim Woodburn, you do. Is this right?
Yes. Kim Woodburn. Well, lovely. She's got to be there, darling. You know, because she, you chicken lover, don't you start with me. Don't start.
You know, she was great on Loose Women. That was an incredible.
Oh, my God. She's
of...
a wonderful woman. That same thing I did with Christopher Biggins, I did with Kim Woodburn.
Yeah.
Although they did guess the real Kim, to be fair, that time. But she said, don't you say you're a naughty boy, you are. Naughty. But I love it. I love it. But the trouble is, every time I do her, she also goes a little bit like Zippy. It's an old bungle. It's a little bit close, doesn't it?
He's getting a bit like that.
And we were saying to you, because we loved Murder in Success for one of my favourite things in the past 5 years, but they're not making any more. Is that because Tom doesn't want
to
do it?
You just need to get on at Tom. You need to start a Twitter poll.
He's very, very busy, isn't he?
He's a busy man, but you need to start on Tom and, you know, until he, you know, eventually has to say yes.
Because I'm wondering, did Chris Eubank ever do one? Because I think now, because Chris Eubank is now a marshal in the States, isn't he?
Is it?
Yeah, he goes out as a marshal with his bow ties. So I think idea of getting Chris to do Murder in Success.
He would be absolutely brilliant. Because we had Chris Kamara and he was just making dad jokes all the time. Yeah. And I saw that he's bringing out an album.
He is.
Christmas hits.
A crooner. Yeah. Christmas crooner.
He's coming in to tell us about it.
I want that album for Christmas if my wife's listening.
There's one wonderful moment of comic timing with Cammy in that where he just, I don't know if it's his gag or whatever it is, I think it probably was. He just went, hey.
I knew you were going to say that.
He was just holding, he's in a stable. And it was brilliant. I thought it was great comic
It was in the
timing.
Scene with me. So I was playing Tom Daly, you know, face of the games, diver. And Tom just walked in, but Tom used to do is get people like Chris Kamara to try and throw me off what I was saying by just getting him to push me into walls, chucking extra lines that I wasn't ready for. At one point, when Mark Wright, not the Liverpool player, the Towie guy,
good footballer though, actually.
Yeah, he is a good footballer. Yeah, he had to kick me in the genitals.
Oh, really?
Right, and Mark said to Tom, he said, "Oh, shall I actually kick him in? You know, really, really kick him in them." And Tom went, "Yeah." So then Mark sort of gently as he possibly could, but I mean, he he could have stopped me having kids, boys.
He could have done.
But he didn't.
So Arsenal, we should talk a bit about that. To be fair, even Spurs and Chelsea admit that, you know, you can lose a game now and again. It's not been a bad start of the season. Or are you one of the Emery out mob?
I'm trying to remain neutral.
Yeah.
But you know, I think you'll find it hard to find many people who defend Emery at the moment.
Mm.
You know, there might not be many people that will say he's the best manager ever. But, you know, I think you have to give him time. But I think that performance against Sheffield United, that result against Sheffield United was coming.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a season ticket holder. And, you know, and even in the games we've won, it's always looked like we just about got over the line. And I just don't think we've played really well in the Premier League this season. And that's a worry for me.
A lot of teams can say that. And Pepe, I think, is a good player. I think it's something.
Yeah, young.
I think the squad's great.
Very different.
Yeah, there's some good players.
But this is my thing. I think the squad is, I would almost say, the third best in the Premier League at the moment. But I don't think we've got the right manager to get us the best out of us.
Very strange style.
Have you tried?
Because he's speaking in English and it's not easy.
Yeah.
Emphasis is all wrong.
He's got a catchphrase at least with this good evening.
Good evening.
But yeah. I find his press conferences so difficult to listen to because I sort of don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like Wenger, you know, he's there talking about economics, of course. You know, but like Unai Emery is like, yeah, of course, I think we're the better team. But, you know,
He suddenly
bites a shout. He's
like, oh, blowing
the
life out of me.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because people come up to me at the Emirates and they're sort of, oh, you know, have you been working on your you know, and I just sort of said, no, not really, because I worry he might be gone by Christmas. I have to work on my lungs.
Here's
my Sir Chips Keswick.
Very obscure. He's very accurate. Hillwood. Yeah, Arsenal could do an Arsenal night.
Yeah,
I do wonder if you do any of I don't know if you do kind of Claude or any of the AF.
You can't do Claude without swearing.
Yeah, exactly. And even with Troops, when he's not swearing. But I've seen Troops is like best mates with Aubameyang now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Aubameyang's Instagram, they're always like messaging each other. I'm a bit jealous. I'm a bit jealous of that friendship. But you know, for me these days, you know, there's not many players that, you know, like the old days, you could do a lot more of impressions of players. Where like now, you feel like Harry Kane because he's the England captain. You know,
we were certainly hearing a lot more from him at the moment, you know, and he's obviously going through a very difficult time at Tottenham, you know, and hopefully, you know, Dele Alli started dressing properly again, and that's going to make us play better. I don't know,
you know, but you know, it's, you find that it's the managers with these personalities, you know, you've got Serge Klopp, fantastic, boom, yeah, ah, you know, and you know, Pochettino, Harry Kane, you know, so there are some like amazing characters out there,
but not so much among the players at the moment.
Well, no, you just don't seem to hear from them as much, and they seem to say the same things over and over again. You don't get those big personalities like you used to.
So you'll hear all those voices and more if you go to see Luke, certainly on Friday night at the Leicester Square Theatre in London. And also you're going to be in Eastleigh, Whitehaven. Where else are you going to be at for the remainder
Saffron
of the
tour? Walden tomorrow. Yeah.
Millham. Where's Millham?
I don't know. The tour manager will take me.
Kendall. Chorley, York, Wimborne, Banbury and Maidenhead.
Yes. Don't forget Manchester.
Salford in Manchester, that's almost nearly sold out as well, and that'll be a good one in Manchester. All right, mate.
So, lukekempner.com, you can follow Luke on Twitter as well. All the dates are there, at Luke Kempner, both with capital L, capital K.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are, that was this afternoon's show. We'll return tomorrow at 1. Tim Vine will join us in the studio, fine comedian, and we'll do apologise. And also, Clive Allen. Clive's new book is out and it's got some pretty incendiary stuff in it, but what a fine player he was. Clive Allen joins us in the studio. That's it, we're done. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.